be welcome. Today will be a lay service, as Pastor Luke and Jules will be celebrating the recent wedding ceremony. We will also have a lay service next Sunday. Please rise as we open our service with prayer.
Almighty and eternal God, direct us to act in ways that reflect the light of your grace, so that in Jesus' name we might do your will through him who is your very Son. Amen.
Please be seated. We'll open up our service with hymn 896. Together, as his people, let us take refuge in the infinite mercy of God, our Heavenly Father, seeking his grace for the sake of Christ, and saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. Let us then confess our sins to God, our Father.
Most merciful God, we confess that we are by nature sinful and unclean. We have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. We justly deserve your present and eternal punishment. But the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us. Forgive us, renew us, and lead us, so that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways to the glory of your holy name. Amen.
In the mercy of Almighty God, Jesus Christ was given to die for us, and for his sake, God forgives us all our sins. To those who believe in Jesus Christ, he gives the power to become the children of God and gives them the Holy Spirit. May the Lord, who has begun this good work in us, bring it to completion in the day of our Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Eternal God, we commit to your mercy and forgiveness the year now ending, and commend to your blessing and love the times yet to come. In the new year, abide among us with your Holy Spirit, that we may always trust in the saving name of our Lord Jesus Christ. We pray this in Jesus' name, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
Please be seated.
Our first reading for today comes from Psalm 90. This is a responsive reading on page 4 of the service bulletin. Lord, you have been our dwelling place in all generations, before the mountains were brought forth, or ever you had formed the earth and the world.
Even from everlasting to everlasting, you are God.
You turn man to destruction and say,
Return, O children of man.
For 1,000 years in your sight are like yesterday when it is past,
and like a watch in the night.
The days of our lives are 70 years, and if by reason of strength they are 80 years.
Yet their boast is only labor and sorrow. For it is soon cut off, and we fly away.
Who knows the power of your anger?
For as the fear of you, so is your wrath.
So teach us to number our days,
that we may gain a heart of wisdom.
Return, O Lord, how long?
And have compassion on your servants.
O satisfy us early with your mercy,
that we may
let your work appear to your servants,
and your glory to their children.
And let the beauty of the Lord our God be upon us.
And establish the work of our hands for us. Yes, establish the work of our hands.
This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Our second reading is from Lamentations chapter 3, verses 21 through 26.
Glory to you, O Lord.
But this I call to mind, and therefore I have hope. The steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. His mercies never come to an end. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. The Lord is my portion, says my soul. Therefore I will hope in him. The Lord is good to those who wait for him, to the soul who seeks him. It is good that one should wait quietly for the salvation of the Lord. Here ends our second reading.
Praise to you, O Lord Christ.
Please rise as we confess our faith with the Apostles' Creed as printed on page 6 of the service bulletin.
I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
Please be seated. We will now continue with hymn 733, Our God, Our Help in Ages Past.
Thank you.
Please rise. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. The text for our meditation this morning is taken from Luke chapter 13, verses 6 through 9. And he, that is Jesus, told this parable. A man had a fig tree planted in his vineyard, and he came seeking fruit on it and found none. And he said to the vine dresser, "Look, for 3 years now I've come seeking fruit on this fig tree and found none. Cut it down. Why should it use up the ground?" And he answered him, "Sir, let it alone this year also, until I dig around it and put on manure. Then if it should bear fruit next year, well and good. But if not, you can cut it down." Here ends the text. Please be seated. Our sermon this morning comes to us from Pastor Nathan Pfeiffer of Trinity Lutheran Church in Spokane, Washington. Dear fellow redeemed in Christ Jesus, who have come seeking forgiveness for the year now ending, and his mercy and blessing for the year soon to begin. Horticulture. Could there be a better topic to discuss on New Year's Eve than horticulture? Horticulture is defined as the science, technology, and business involved in intensive plant cultivation for human use. It is a fancy word for gardening. It can be as simple as the average gardener caring for their tomato plants, or as complex as crossbreeding a plum with an apricot to produce a pluot. Horticulturists work hard to ensure that the plants that they care for are fruitful. We hear of a couple of horticulturists in our text for this New Year's Eve. One is the owner of a vineyard. He owns the land and he owns the plants growing on it. He primarily uses the land to grow grapevines, but he has an open spot in his vineyard, and he decided that he might enjoy having a fig tree. After waiting years for his tree to first mature, the owner of the vineyard went to that tree expecting to find figs that he could enjoy, something that he should have been able to find 3 times a year. Yet he found none, not even one. So he waited another year, and another. Finally, after 3 years of finding no fruit at all on this tree, he's determined to cut it down. This unfruitful tree is wasting perfectly good soil where the owner could have planted something else. The other horticulturist in our text is the vine dresser. This man was hired by the owner of the vineyard to take care of his plants. He was responsible for the weeding, the pruning, the harvesting of the grapevines. He cares about this tree also. When the owner threatens to cut down this tree, he asks the owner for one more year. One more year to work the soil around the fruitless fig tree. One more year to put manure or fertilizer at the base of the tree. His hope was that by working the soil and spreading the nutrient-rich manure at the base of the tree, that it would begin producing figs for the owner. But if not, the vine dresser said, you can cut it down. Thus, the vine dresser asks for another year. As we look back on 2017 and we look ahead to 2018, this discussion of horticulture, of plant care, has much to say to us. With this earthly story, Jesus wishes to impress on us a spiritual, heavenly truth. Let us examine and apply these words to our life as we hear the vine dresser's plea, "Let it alone this year also." May God, the Holy Spirit, work in us through his holy word. While Jesus never spells out the meaning of this parable, it's pretty clear what is meant. God himself is the owner of the vineyard. And in his vineyard, he planted a tree that rightly didn't belong, a fig tree in amongst the grapevines, a tree that he expected to find fruit on, but which year after year was barren. The immediate application of this would be Jerusalem and Israel, God planted Israel as his special tree, and he cared a great deal for it. He brought it up out of slavery in Egypt. He planted it in the promised land of Canaan, a land flowing with milk and honey, a land where there were already homes to live in and vineyards to harvest from. He gave them his law. He made them his people. He defended them and protected them from their enemies, oftentimes in miraculous ways. Yet again and again, the Lord came seeking fruit from his special tree, and he found none. Rather than giving him all the honor and glory, rather than worshiping only him, Israel turned to the false gods of the world. Rather than being faithful to him in his covenant, Israel played the spiritual harlot. The Lord sought fruits of faith, but he found none, and thus he was ready to cut it down because it was wasting his space. Of course, we dare not limit our parable to just Jerusalem and Israel. Jesus is speaking to every Christian of every era. He's speaking to us today also. We are that fig tree, and what rich soil he has planted us in. We live in a land where the government does not interfere or inhibit our worship. Every Sunday, the gospel can be heard from the pulpits of our CLC churches as the means of grace are administered regularly. He provided many faithful Sunday school teachers who told our children about him and about their Savior Jesus. In Minnesota, and then in Wisconsin, he planted an institution of higher learning, a Christian high school, college, and seminary where one can send our youth confident that they would hear the word of God and be strengthened in their faith. And individually, what more could the Lord have done for us? This season, we are reminded that he gave his one and only Son to be our Savior. He heaped the ugliness of our sin on Jesus. He made Jesus pay the price for our lies, our hypocrisy, our lust, our cheating. Jesus bore the burden for these sins, and he was punished in our place. He did this to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. He has given us his word, where he promises to nurture and strengthen our faith. He's given us baptism and the Lord's Supper, visible means connected with the Lord, with the word of God, to assure us and strengthen us in our faith. The Lord has indeed planted us in the good ground of his vineyard. Now the Lord comes looking for fruit. Paul writes to the Ephesians, "For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them." We are God's workmanship. He planted us in his vineyard. He made us his children. He created us in Christ Jesus as Christ believers for good works. That is the fruit God is looking for. The fruits of joy, peace, thanksgiving, and love. The fruit of loving him who loved us first. The fruit of loving our neighbor, our brothers and sisters, and even our enemies. He looks for fruits of faith that bring glory to his name as our Savior God. The Lord came looking for fruit, but what has he found? Looking over the past year, have we been fruit-bearing believers, or have we been taking up his precious soil? Have we been wasting the blessings of word and sacrament that God gives us? Have we individually been loveless? The Lord is walking in his garden, looking for fruits of faith. Cut it down. This command of the owner echoes in our guilty ears as we enter a new year. Cut it down, he says. Why should it use up the ground? Church history shows us how the Lord did cut down those who wasted the fertile soil of his love. Because he found no fruit in Jerusalem, it was cut down by the Romans. Not one stone was left upon another. follow the planting of the gospel throughout history. Where are the Orthodox Ephesians, the faithful Romans, the devoted Lutherans in Germany? Yes, figs were found here and there, like righteous Lot in Sodom, but by and large, those fruitless trees have been cut down. But this cutting down did not come swiftly. The Lord was patient and long-suffering. He patiently came year after year seeking fruits of faith, only to find none. When he was ready to lay the axe to the root, we hear the plea of the vine dresser, "Sir, let it alone this year also." The vine dresser wanted another opportunity. It seems that he was personally interested in seeing this fig tree produce fruit. He is willing to put in the time and effort to try one more time. Then if it should bear fruit next year, well and good. But if not, you can cut it down. Who else could this be, pleading for the tree, but our great high priest, our intercessor, Christ Jesus himself? Christ is personally interested in the tree. He shed his blood and he gave his life to purchase the tree for himself. Like Moses, Christ stood in the breach and prevented the axe from swinging. Christ himself went to Jerusalem and then sent his apostles to Jerusalem. Only when he and his apostles were rejected and refused did the axe swing. Only then was the tree chopped down. Do we deserve to be cut down? Have we wasted God's precious soil? We must humbly confess that, yes, we have. Yet the Lord our God is merciful, gracious, and long-suffering. Jesus is at the Father's right hand speaking to him, "Sir, let it alone this year also." He kept the law perfectly to be our righteousness. He shed his blood and died to purchase us. He is personally interested in our salvation. He gave himself for us that he might redeem us from every lawless deed and purify for himself his own special people, zealous for good works. Jesus himself pleads for us, "Sir, let it alone this year also." While we rejoice that Jesus pleads for us, our New Year prayer is that he would also work on us. We read, "Sir, let it alone this year also until I dig around it and put on manure." The vine dresser in this parable intends to work the soil and fertilize the ground around the tree. This is invasive and nurturing work. The hard soil is violently broken up by the spade or the pitchfork. It is also nurturing work, as the manure gives the fig tree nutrients that it may have been lacking. We pray that Jesus would do this with us as well, in our hearts. The psalmist prayed for the same thing. "Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me, and know my anxieties. And see if there is any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting." Like a squirrel digging for nuts buried beneath the soil, so we pray that God would dig around to see if there is any wicked way in our heart. Find those secret sins that we don't even realize that we do. Find those sins that we have tried to hide from God or hide from someone else. We want Jesus to come with the sharp tongs of the pitchfork of his law and dig around in our hearts to expose our sin, that we might repent and turn away from those wicked ways. Having exposed our sin, we pray that he would spread a thick layer of his fertilizer. We need him to fertilize our faith with his gospel love. Through the gospel, he soothes our wounded conscience and strengthens our faith. As we enter this new year, we look back, confessing that we have all too often squandered and taken for granted the good soil of God's love that he has planted us in. Yet we pray in this new year that Jesus would dig around the hard soil of our hearts and lead us to genuine repentance. Then we need him to fertilize our faith with his amazing grace. As we enter a new year of God's amazing grace, we rejoice to hear Jesus' promise to us. He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit. Even so, Lord Jesus, abide in us. Amen. Please rise. Peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and your minds through Christ Jesus.
We give thee but thine own, whate'er the gift may be, for all we have is thine alone, a trust, O Lord, from thee. We now continue with the sermon hymn, Now the Year Has Gone Away, as printed in the service bulletin on page 7. Please rise as we submit our prayers. And we'll have a special prayer for Nick and Aaron Hasselick for the birth of their baby girl, Claire Evangeline Hasselick.
Sons are a heritage from the Lord, children a reward from Him. Thus, dear Lord, through the psalmist, you have reminded us that children are wonderful blessings, sent from you to lighten our earthly burdens and to fill our hearts with joy. We praise your holy name for bestowing upon this man and his wife such a joy-filled blessing. We bow in thankfulness that you have kept the mother continually in your grace and protection and given her a healthy child. We beseech your continued blessing, asking you to protect and sustain the child through her life. Cause her to be born again of water and of the Spirit, that in faith and love for you, her Savior, she may serve your name here on earth, and eternity share with the angels and all believers the glories of heaven. May the child always be filled with your grace and the Holy Spirit, that she may continue to be a joy and blessing to her parents and others by walking the path of righteousness through life. We ask this in the name of Jesus, who said, "Let the children come to me." O Lord God, Father in heaven, who in the fullness of time sent forth your Son to be the light of the world and to offer himself to redeem all people, we give you praise and thanksgiving. We bless and hallow your name because you have so graciously provided for us and our salvation. We ask, dear Father, that you would show us your mercy, deliver us from all evil, and rescue us from the punishment that our sins deserve. Guide and lead us by faith in your Son, so that we trust in him alone for our forgiveness. Make us sure and certain that salvation is now ours, not because of anything within us, but because of what our Lord Jesus has done by being born into this world as a child, by keeping your holy law perfectly for us, by dying in our place on the cross. Dear Lord, we implore you to let your grace rest upon our hearts by the working of your Holy Spirit, so that the faith that you have created in us may become stronger and stronger. Let your work of faith show itself by what we do in our lives day by day, having been reborn as children of light by your Spirit. We desire to live as children of light. O God, lead us to live ever holier lives for your glory. Dear Father, let the brightness of your glory shine upon all who feel the need of your almighty aid. Shine brightly in hearts that are filled with darkness and homes overshadowed with sorrow or suffering. Give the light of your truth to all in authority in our own land and elsewhere. Be present with the power of your word among all nations and peoples, and bring them to faith in that holy child, our dear Lord Jesus, whom you sent for the redemption of all mankind. Let the light of his life, death, and resurrection be that light of divine truth that shall brighten every land. We pray for our sick, our hurt, our troubled, our fallen, and our absent fellow believers. Grant unto them whatever you in your perfect wisdom know that they need, whether it be soundness of body, strength of faith, or security of hope. And grant them hearts of repentance over sin and assurance of salvation in Christ. Hear us, O Father, in these our petitions, and direct and govern our hearts that we may be preserved in the one Christian faith unto everlasting life. We ask this in our Savior's name, and join together as we pray the prayer you taught us. Our Father,
who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever.
Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. Closing hymn will be hymn 878, Abide With Me.
Abide with me.
for our announcements today, there will be no East Bay service later on today. We'll be having a lay service again next Sunday. There will be a catechism class on Wednesday via Skype. Thursday, school resumes this Thursday. And the honeymoon starts on this Friday. Fantastic. We're discussing on when to bring a Christmas tree down, either next Saturday or next Sunday following the service. So next Sunday after service, raise your hands. Sound good? Okay. Next Sunday after service, we'll bring the Christmas tree down, take down the rest of the decorations. Are there any other announcements? Quiet.
There's no choir this Thursday, but there will be choir next Thursday. Mark Green's mother had a mild heart attack, so they're keeping her for observation. But Kristen and they'll be back next week.
Pastor.
You think I'd go through a whole
service?
Thanks,
Sunday.
I want to thank everyone for coming this morning, and also give a big thank you to Paul and Scott for filling in, especially a special thank you to Paul. My father was supposed to do the service today. There was some communication issues, and then also his flight got canceled, and he had to take a 6:30 a.m. flight out. So from about Wednesday, Paul knew he was up. Well, actually volunteered to be up, so we thank you for your help and all you did for this week. I'm also a great big thank you to all of you for all that you did for our wedding weekend. A thank you to the Women's Auxiliary for the wonderful meal afterwards, and to all of you who showed your support and gave gifts. We were overwhelmed when we opened all our gifts last night with the love and support you gave to us. So thank you, and we look forward to being with you and serving with you in the coming new year. God's blessings to you all.
May you all have a blessed week.